Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, friends. Good morning, good morning. I totally forgot to mention this at the welcome at the top, but there is somebody among us. Pastor Peter is back today. We've been praying for you. We hope that it was a really good time, that the Lord could speak to you. And I hope that was a refreshing season. So we can't wait for stories there. If it has not been said, welcome. My name is Jericho. I'm one of the staff here. And it's a privilege for me to serve alongside with you and to serve you. Today, if you have your Bibles or your devices, would you turn to the Bible book of Jonah? It's in the Old Testament. It's a small book that tells of a prophet who God calls to do something and he fails to do it, and we'll be in Jonah this morning. We continue our study through the sermon series called Faithfulness. We've been spending the past 4 weeks here, and we have been trying to answer the question of what does it mean to be a faithful follower of Jesus? And we think it's through the letter C. We've been looking at the three C's, that we are committed, connected, and called. Pastor Donna spoke to us about committing our lives to Jesus because we need a spiritual renewal, that we need to follow Jesus and give him our whole lives. John 3:16, we had Awana this past week. We had 91 kiddos, and this is one of the verses they were learning. And John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And that's what it means to commit your life to Jesus. Pastor Donna also spoke about being connected. What does that look like? That God created us to be relational beings because God himself exists in a loving community called the Trinity. This love that the Father has for the Son has for the Spirit, and the Spirit has for God is what we are invited to when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. Last week, I talked about what it means to be called by the love of God so that we can love other people. We receive God's love so that we can love others. So today, we are looking at the last C again. What does it mean to be called? But instead of, hey, what does it mean to be a faithful called person, we're going to answer this question. What happens when we fail to do what God calls us to do? What happens when we are not faithful to the call of God in our lives? Are you guys at the book of Jonah yet? All right, we are going to be reading and bouncing around, see if you can follow along. Jonah 1, this is the word of the Lord, friends. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah, he ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Verse 5, all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep." Let's jump to verse 15 to 17. "Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. The Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Jumping to chapter 2, verse 10. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Continuing, chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Then the word of the Lord came again to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a great city, and it took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Jumping now to verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. The last verse, friends, chapter 4, verse 2. Jonah prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Friends, would you pray with me this morning? Father God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your faithfulness in Jonah's life. God, we thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. God, would you speak to us this morning as we prepare our hearts for communion? God, we thank you for the community that we have here, and thank you for calling us to serve you. God, would you be gentle with us? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What happens when we are not faithful to the call that God has for our lives? Two answers that I want to offer this morning, and it's this, that God is still sovereign, that God will work things out despite of and especially through our mistakes and our failures, that God is still in control. The second thing is, God is gracious, that he gives us chance after chance to know who he is so that we may partner with him in what he is calling us to do. So point number one, God is sovereign. God was and always is in control. He is working out everything despite of and especially through our mistakes and our failures. Going now to our story, the Lord speaks to Jonah and he says, I want you to go to Nineveh. Right? Go and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. See, the Assyrian people were a brutal group. They worshipped a violent god. So whenever they would come to a nation that they would conquer, they would torture their men, women, and children. They would pile their bodies in the front gate. They would take the skins of the people that they've conquered and smear it all over the walls, and they'd set it ablaze. So when Jonah receives this call from the Lord, what does he do? I want to show you guys a picture. At the bottom right of your screen is where Jonah is. He says, instead of taking the 50-mile trek up north to Nineveh, he books a 2,000-mile boat trip to Tarshish. That's what he does. The dotted line is his plan of travel. The solid line is what actually happened in his life. Jonah decided that he would rather quit his prophetic ministry than to preach to these people. All right, and what happens? Verse 4, the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. What happened to the sailors? These are professional sailors. They started praying to their gods. They started throwing things overboard. And they started casting lots. They were like, whose fault is this? Who made their God angry that he's sending a storm? And so they roll the dice, and guess who it falls in? It falls on Jonah. What does Jonah do, by the way, while there's a storm happening? He went below deck, and he's taking a deep, deep nap. He's taking a nap, right? Has this ever happened to you? When you feel like God's called you to something, and you're like, instead of following what you're telling me to do, God, Instead of staying neutral and delaying and procrastinating, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go 2,000 miles away to modern-day Spain than to follow you. And if things happen, you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go take a nap. It won't be my problem when I wake up. Has this happened to you? What is happening in the story of Jonah that could be instructive for us today? Was Jonah scared of the Assyrians? Maybe. What happens when he'd rather die than to face his enemies? But you know what's crazy in the story? God is still sovereign and in control. Because whose lives are on the line? The sailors, right? The sailors, they didn't sign up for this. They were just doing their good job, right? So what happens? They roll the dice. They figure out it's Jonah. They confront him. And he says, I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and dry land. And in verse 10, this terrified the sailors. He's a man of God. And they're asking him, what have you done? And I love that in my Bible, it's in parentheses, they knew he was running away from the Lord because he had also told them. So Jonah, he's not hiding it. When they woke him up from his nap, he's like, oh yeah, I'm running away from the Lord. This is why we have a storm. Right? What is happening? If you were the sailor in that time, you have two choices. You can kill him right then. But instead, they practice mercy. Actually, maybe they're like, this is a man of God. This is a man of God we got to take care of. We can't just kill him, but they practice compassion on him. It was Jonah who was supposed to practice compassion over his enemies. And yet here, the sailors had compassion over him. What did they do? The seas got rougher. And instead of throwing Jonah overboard, they said, we're going to give one more thing. We're going to try to paddle. We're going to try to row to the nearest land. And guess what? Do you think they succeeded? No. Afterwards, after trying, they said, Lord, would you please spare us? We know this is a man who works for you. We don't want to kill him, but would you please spare us? So they threw Jonah overboard, and the raging sea was calm, like this. The big waves and the wind just like dies down. And guess what happens to the sailors? They give their lives to the Lord. They see that the Lord not only spared them, but they see how powerful this God is, that he stopped the wind and the waves. And it says in the passage that they feared the Lord and they offered a sacrifice and they made vows to follow him. God is in control. That even though Jonah was running away, God was still in the business of saving people's lives. What does sovereignty mean? That God possesses all power and is the ruler of all, and that God rules and works according to his eternal purpose, even through events that seem to contradict or oppose his rule. Has there been a time in your life where maybe you're flat out procrastinating, running away from the Lord, and the Lord uses you to save your coworkers' lives, to save people along the way? See, the story of Jonah is our story. We ought to do things that we do not. We fail to do it on our own. When we choose to do things in our own power apart from God, or sometimes when we flat out reject who he is and what he's provided for us. There are natural consequences to those things, but that doesn't mean that God is not powerful enough. That doesn't mean that God is not sovereign, that he's not in control. In fact, it says the opposite, that God is so powerful. Sometimes we fret the little choices we make. If I make this choice right now, what happens after, right? Sometimes young adults, they think about this, like, what if I miss my soulmate, right? But the Lord in his sovereignty not only knows the choice, the two choices, he knows all the potential choices that you have, and he knows the results of every single avenue of your life. I don't think I want that. Sometimes we're asking, God, would you just show me what to do or show me all the options? I would go crazy, right? In our limited view and scope, but God can handle it. God can handle it. Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." God has a purpose for you and for me, even when and especially when we're running away from him. Is this comforting? I hope it is. Which leads us to the next point. Not only is God sovereign, despite of our failures, God is gracious. He gives us chance after chance to know that his character is good and for us to do what he's calling us to do. And maybe this is just me preaching to myself, but I'm very stubborn. You know, there are still lessons in my life that I'm like, oh God, we're still here. Yes, I gotta trust you, right? So Jonah fails the first time, and yet God saves the sailors along the way. Not only that, God saves Jonah. Because what does Jonah do when the sea was calm? He was like, I'm not even going to swim up. I want to touch the bottom. I want to see the coral reefs. He wanted to drown, and the Lord saves him by sending a big fish. And he was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights. All right, sidebar. If you're like, okay, wait a second, is that really possible? I had the same question too. I was like, okay, what do scholars say? Some scholars say maybe it's just a good story with a good lesson. This whole Jonah thing, you know, it's not really real. There's not like any accounts. But Jonah is an actual person. You can find it in 2 Kings 14:25. Jonah is mentioned. Not only that, Jesus in his ministry mentions the story of Jonah. If Jesus affirms that, hey, this is a real story, what am I to say, right? The people during Jesus' time heard it and knew that this is an actual person and a real story. And so I started Googling. I was like, I went through my scholarly route. Let's Google. Has this happened the past 100 years? Okay? Has there been a man, a woman, that has been swallowed by a fish and survived? So, in the turn of the 20th century, there's a guy named, what's his name? James Bartley. He was a whaler, and they caught a whale, and they sliced it open, and James comes out. All his hair is out. He's all, like, white gunk everywhere. And they said, how long have you been there? Oh, he's been there days. And so, like a good Google search, you got to say, Google, is this real? And guess what? It was a whale of a tale. Like, they don't know. There was no manifest of a James Bartley or this ship, right? And so I was like, okay, 100 years. So I started looking. And just 2021, there was a lobster diver who went down and was trying to catch lobster. And all of a sudden, everything went black. And then 30 seconds later, he's like, he gets spit out. He gets swallowed by a whale last year, and they have confirmed that, yes, it was only for like 30 to 60 seconds, but it's possible, right? And then just this year in August, there were two ladies kayaking in Avila Beach in California, and guess what? A humpback whale just comes up and takes the lady's kayak. She gets spit out, and there's a video. I was like, should I show it? No, we don't want to be distracting. All right, so it happens. And so the question becomes, is this real? Can we trust this? And you know, the only answer that I can come up with is there are things that happen in our lives that are supernatural. There are things that are miracles. Some scholars say maybe we've never even discovered this fish, or maybe it went extinct. It doesn't say whale, it was a great fish. But then I thought to myself, if you have a problem with Jonah being in the belly of the fish for 3 days, do you have a problem with the Lord telling the fish later on, hey, it's time to spit him out at the beach? There are parts of the story where the Lord provides a shade over Jonah within 24 hours, like a full-blown shade, and then there's a worm that comes and eats it up and it dies within 24 hours. Those are things, like, we're making mental jumps. Not only that, can we believe that there is the eternal Son of God, Jesus, who was in heaven, who comes down Christmas morning as a baby, lives a perfect life, gets crucified for you and for me, and comes back 3 days later. Those are harder things to swallow than Jonah being in the belly of the fish. Right? So that was just like my little sidebar. What happens in the story? He gets in the belly of the fish and he says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help and you listened to my cry." Point number one is, I don't know what kind of season you guys are in, but can you pray and say, "Lord, I am in distress and I need your help. I feel like the water has come up over me. I need for you to listen to my cry." What does God do? He's gracious and he says, "Hey, let's spit this guy out." Not in the middle of the ocean, but let's spit him out at the beach. Another miracle. God is gracious. He grants Jonah another chance. After the storm, after the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, Jonah gets spat out the beach and he has to walk from the beach to Nineveh. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say how long it takes him. But could you imagine the conversation Jonah has with the Lord? Do you think God was like, "Hey, had you followed me the first time, we'd be done. We could be on vacation time. We can go to Tarshish now." Right? But I think the Lord is so gracious to even us. He allows for us to go the roundabout ways. And he's just right there. He is just right there. He takes 3 days. Jonah takes 3 days to walk around Nineveh. And most of the prophetic books are full-blown books of this is God's judgment for you. The book of Jonah is all story, and the judgment is this. He says, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's it. That was his preaching. Could you imagine if that was my preaching? We'd be done. Yes. It's air show time. John. All right. Five words, 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. Sometimes the Lord has us go through seasons, and it might be storms, and it might be like stinky, like the belly of the fish, but God's grace gives us another chance. What happens when we are not faithful? God gives us another chance to turn to him. He knows the life of disobedience and where it goes, and he knows the detour back. And he says, "Hey, if you follow the straight and narrow, right, I will be with you." Does he promise that it's going to be easy? No. He says, "I will be with you, always there with you." When Jonah preaches the shortest sermon ever, but it's 3 days long, the whole nation turns around and repents. It says that 120,000 of them, even their cattle, put on sackcloths and called a national fast. They all turned to God. What did God do? Chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw what they did and turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Pause. Was God harsher to the Ninevites who were wicked, or was he harsher to Jonah? It seems like he's harsher on Jonah, who was disobedient, than for Nineveh, who would do these crazy evil things. And you know, it makes me think of the story in Luke 15 of the prodigal son. You guys know the story? There's a wealthy dad, he's got two sons. And the younger son says, "Dad, I'm not going to wait until you're dead. You're dead to me. I want my inheritance now." So the dad gives the younger son his inheritance, and he goes to a faraway land and squanders all of it. He squanders all of it to the point where he's having to work the dirtiest job, eating the dirtiest food. And he says, "If I come home, I can be my dad's servant." and I don't have to eat this muck. Right? So he goes, and his dad sees him from far away, and his dad runs. His dad runs and gives him a hug, puts a robe around his shoulders and gives him a ring and says, thank you for coming back. And he says, sorry, Dad, I've come to my senses. I want to be your servant. And the dad says, nuh-uh, you will always be my son. Let's throw a party. The son, who was faithful or seemingly available the whole time, says, man, I've been with you this whole time, and you never threw me a party. And Jesus, like the good father, is saying, hey, what's worse, that you are available to me here, but your heart is far away from me? Or is it better that your brother, your sibling, who was lost, is now found, has come to his senses, and come back? The nation of Nineveh was spared. This generation in the story of Jonah was spared. Don't get me wrong, because a hundred years later, another prophet comes and speaks another judgment over them, and they get wiped out in 612 BC. Do you guys know what present-day Nineveh is? Mosul, Iraq. All right? And so God, even though there was judgment a hundred years later because of Jonah's unfaithfulness, God saw that they responded to him and relented from bringing destruction. What did Jonah do? Jonah, in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became very angry. It's not that he was scared of them. He just knew that God was a forgiving God, that he knew that they were going to get forgiven. Contrast Jonah's response to Jesus. What did Jesus do while he was hanging on the cross? And everybody was saying, crucify him, crucify him. He says, forgive them, Lord, for they do not know what they are doing. Jonah was unwilling, and Jesus was willing and able. The story of Jonah points to Jesus, who was willing to go to the cross for you and for me. I don't know if you've noticed yet who the main character of the story is. Is it about the Ninevites who are wicked? Was it about Jonah and the people of God? It's actually about the Lord. God is the main character in the book. I'm going to show you guys. Because the Lord is the one who speaks to Jonah, chapter 1. He's the one who sends the wind. He's the one that provides the huge fish. He commands the fish to vomit Jonah out. And the Lord speaks to Jonah a second time. It's the Lord who sees the repentant Ninevites. It's the Lord who replies to Jonah and says, hey, do you have a right to be angry? And it's the same God that provides the leafy plant, the worm, and the scorching wind and blazing sun. And God speaks to Jonah again, do you have the right to be angry? And the Lord reveals his compassion to the people that can't even tell what's right and wrong. And there's about 120,000 of them. My encouragement is this. If you're like, you know what? I love the air show. I have some quiet right now. If you have 10, 15 minutes this afternoon, read the book of Jonah. It takes 10, 15 minutes. But read it knowing that it's the Lord who's the main character. What happens when we are unfaithful, when we are not faithful to the call that God has in our lives, that he is still sovereign and working things out, that he is gracious in giving us a second chance. What are some takeaways for us? One takeaway is this: what season are you in right now? Is it nice and calm seas? Is it rough storms? Does it smell like a belly of the fish? But what matters is this. Do you know where God is in your season? Do you know where he's at in the storm? Do you know where he's at in the sunshine? God is always on the move in our lives. The next thing, how is your willingness and resolve? Whether that's positive or negative, right? If you're walking away from the Lord, are you still willing to go that path? If you are trying to stay faithful, even though maybe you're having a hard time at work and you're like, I know what it means to be a Christian and do the right thing. Right? Our model and our example and our goal is Jesus himself. He was willing and able. And see, sometimes we have to count the small yeses, the small victories in our lives. Because when we say small yeses to Jesus every day, there will come a time when the Lord says, hey, I want to give you a bigger question, a bigger yes, to trust in me. The third thing is God is always in control. He has you in the palm of his hands. It doesn't matter how strong the waves are, the winds, how scorching the sun is, how stinky the belly of the fish is. He loves you and he will never leave you nor forsake you. And the last thing is turn, or rather return to God. I don't know how far your detour is, but the Lord says, turn back to me. I am a God of second chances. What happens when we're unfaithful? God is still faithful. Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, I thank you so much for your love for me and your love for us. God, we thank you for the story of Jonah, that we can look to you, Jesus, and learn that you are willing, able, God, that you are sovereign and in control, despite all our mistakes and failings. Jesus, may you be bigger in our lives. God, we want to depend on you. We want to put our trust in you. God, we pray this in your powerful Son's name. Amen.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon Podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpc.org.